Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to let you know if you're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and you would like to learn a little bit more about becoming an empathic listener, I'm holding a workshop with my yoga teacher. Her and I are co-leading a two-hour workshop from 4 to 6 p.m. November 11th at Lifetime Fitness. It's only $20 for Lifetime members or $25 for non-members. And we're going to talk about universal needs, our feelings and beliefs and values, and when they're triggered, you know, how do we stay listening and connected and grounded? And what's the hierarchy of listening? What are all the details about how, you know, if you're not empathically listening, what else are you doing? What types of listening are there? And I've got a personal story, too, that I want to help people. A lot of people, when you overstep a boundary or and hurt somebody, people don't know how to come back into a conversation and really repair the relationship. And that takes a lot of empathic listening and connecting with the other person. And so those are some of the things that I'm going to go over with Lindsay Lewis in a few weeks. So if you can attend and you're in the area, please do. And secondly, we've got a second conversation with Kim Meinert. Kim Meinert is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach. Her life as a hairstylist and salon owner was interrupted with a surprising diagnosis of type 1 diabetes at age 44. Her newly released book, Derail Diabetes, covers the ins and outs, ups and downs of diabetes with yummy recipes and stories, and makes diabetes easy to understand and manage. She has spoken at a wide variety of places, including Arizona State University, Ping Golf, Synergy Software, the 2016 Low Carb Cruise. Say, I want to know a little bit more about that, Kim. Hi, welcome to the studio. What was that about?
Well, the Low Carb Cruise has been in existence for 10 years. It was started by Jimmy Moore, and he is one of the longest-running podcasters on the air in the health and wellness space. His show is called the Livin' La Vida Low Carb Show.
Okay.
Jimmy lost 180 pounds.
Wow.
And people were so inspired by what he was doing that he started podcasting and talking about it, and created this cruise. And I think the first cruise they had about 17 people. And we just got back from Alaska the end of May for the 10th annual Low Carb Cruise, and we had, I think, 357 people on our in our group. And so it's not like the ship makes us any special food, but the waiters get used to you, and they bring you extra broccoli and extra butter and wonderful things that we can eat. And so it's just kind of a great time to get support. And I've been able to meet a lot of researchers, scientists, and doctors in this space who really care about people and about their health as far as diabetes goes. And so it's just a great group of people.
Very cool. Maybe you could bring your mastermind group concept to the cruise.
You know, that's a good idea. And, you know, everywhere you go, you meet diabetics because it's such a big problem in our country and our world. So I'm sure that I could maybe do a mastermind on a boat. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Plus, yeah. You could cut people's hair if they want.
Oh, sure.
Get it all done here, man. Change your lifestyle, including your hairstyle, to go with your diabetes diagnosis.
Yeah, my poor clients, you know, they sit in my chair and they are a captive audience. And if they are pre-diabetic or diabetic, I have a hard time not, just going on and on about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I get pretty excited about helping people.
Well, yeah, and you're used to talking to people too, as an entrepreneur, connecting, and also as a hairstylist, right? Conversing with people all day long.
Yeah, definitely have the gift of gab.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of the book, The Blue Zones? I know I mentioned it last week when we were talking. And I know you probably haven't had a chance to, I don't know, have you had a chance to research that at all? I know you've been, you know, traveling from Montana to...
Yeah, I had a lot of travel this month, but I did go out to the website. It seems like, who is the author of that again?
Dan Buettner. He's a longevity expert.
Right. And so... I believe that we have a little bit of a different philosophy.
Okay.
Because I believe his approach is plant-based.
Well, you know, that's what I thought initially too. But so he was studying, like he studies people who are centenarians, who are pockets of people living in different communities. And he went in and examined, like, what is going on in these communities where people are living such long lives. And so he studied a population in Sardinia, Italy, in Okinawa, Japan. In America, we have a Loma Linda, California group. And there's a Costa Rica group in South America and in Greece. And what he found was they had different diets, but what they did was they had things built into their communities where there was deeper connection, where there was maybe people preparing foods together, or maybe going on walks together. And people had, you know, do have meat, and in each population, they have like different types of foods.
Okay.
But what they did was they have smaller portions of meat and even fish. Like they eat, and they don't eat as much, and they also don't eat it as frequently, but they're still, you know, like several times a week instead of maybe every day, that kind of thing. So he's addressing the same lifestyle, and I felt like that's, you know, what is really in common. And he found, like, beans are, like, this huge, you get a big bang for your buck with all types of different beans.
Okay.
And
so,
yeah,
what's for a diabetic, that would be a starchy vegetable that you would want you wouldn't want that to be a main part of your diet when you're diabetic, because beans are starchy. They make your blood sugar go up. They have pretty high carbohydrate content.
Every type of bean?
They have a lot of benefits and a lot of fiber. So we just, it depends on the person's personal carb tolerance.
Okay. God, see? It's like, beans. Okay. So I've been making like a lot of recipes with black beans, with kidney beans, with a bouzouki bean, white beans. So all types of beans have a level.
Yeah, you just need to look and see what, what your body can tolerate, and the serving, that's a portion thing. A lot of things we don't have to worry about portions on, like they call them cruciferous vegetables, like broccoli, and those things don't have to limit. But when it comes to anything starchy, we do need to watch our portion sizes, because a meal centered just around that will cause your blood sugar to elevate.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, see,
we're a different breed, us diabetics. So
yeah. So I can see where it is initially kind of overwhelming, because it's like, wow, you're finding out about things and how they react in your body in ways that you never really thought about before or even considered.
Right. And there's it's such an individual thing, because the more that you exercise, the better you can tolerate carbohydrates. So somebody who's just sitting around and not moving can't eat as many of those kind of things as someone who's, you know, hitting the gym 5 days a week and really working out. So what I do when I work with my clients is I focus on their personal lifestyle and how they can make small changes to get better and better, whether that's releasing certain food groups or adding more exercise so they can tolerate a little bit more of those things.
Sure. And what's your view on like different types of desserts?
Well, that is really a personal issue, because I know there's been a lot of controversy surrounding artificial sweeteners. Dr. Bernstein, my doctor, and myself, we eat some artificial sweeteners in a limited basis, like on holidays and things. I'll make key lime pie with cream cheese and fresh lime juice, and I use a sweetener called Swerve. That's the brand name, and it's actually erythritol, and you can find it in Whole Foods and Sprouts, I believe, online. You can find it, and it is made from vegetables, so that's the one that I prefer. I've used a little Splenda, a little Stevia, but if you combine the sweeteners, it helps eliminate the aftertaste, and we just don't do it every day.
Yeah, right.
And so people who eat whole foods without processing, I have a friend who doesn't want to eat any processed food at all. So she won't even use powdered stevia, even though stevia is a natural sweetener coming from plants. If it's been processed into a white powder, she doesn't want to do that. So, you know, I don't try to convince people about those kind of things. They're real personal choices. Same being with grass-fed beef versus corn-fed beef. You know, Dr. Weston is the chief of obesity at Duke University, and he says any beef that you eat is better than eating donuts. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't try to get all my omega-3s from beef. You know, I eat fish, I take fish oil supplements, and get it from other things. So, but to be healthy, it's really important to work with your doctor and eat what is right for you, whether you're pre-diabetic, diabetic, type 1, type 2. We're all just individuals and need to be treated like individuals.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And are you feeling like the medical community is more in tune? You know, I know all of their training, very little is spent on, you know, diet.
Right.
And nutrition.
It's getting a lot better. Of course, the naturopathic community are very nutritionally in tune. And I think even in medical school, they're starting to talk more about nutrients. And I know my doctor is very well versed in what I need as far as vitamins and nutrition. So I think it's getting better.
Oh, that's good. And how are you feeling with your own personal journey? Like, does it still ebb and flow quite a bit? Or do you feel like you're pretty stable? Or, you know, what are the things that you're noticing over the last 12 years that you've had diabetes?
Well, I am pretty stable, and I'm basically pretty happy with my numbers. As all women, I, you know, would like to lose 5 pounds. Like, who wouldn't? But one thing that I've noticed that was a little bit discouraging to me is that if I eat too many nuts, and nuts are such a great source of fiber, they're such a great source of fatty, you know, fatty acids that we need for health. And yet if you eat too many of them, your blood sugar will still go up, because I might binge on nuts, and it's like, you know, sometimes you just want to keep eating. It's kind of like the potato thing. You can't eat just one. So
yeah.
So I have my little things I'm still working on. I mean, none of us are perfect, but overall, I feel like I'm healthy and I will have a long life, and I don't plan on having any diabetic complications because I do keep my blood sugars as close to normal as I can.
And does Tim need to monitor his diabetes as closely as you do?
Yeah, he does. We're both type 1, and we wear a continuous blood glucose monitor, which is made by Dexcom. And that has been a real lifesaver for reals. It checks your blood sugar every 5 minutes and sends it via Bluetooth to your telephone, well, your iPhone. Yeah, your smartphone. So I can't imagine being a diabetic, especially before 1978. And that's when I was a senior in high school. But before 1978, there was no way to check your blood sugar. The monitor was invented in 1978.
Huh.
So people just had to guess, you know, and by the time they checked their urine to see if sugar was present, it was really too late. I mean, it had already been the sugar had been building in your bloodstream for so long.
Yeah.
So we are so blessed to have the technology that we do, even though we don't have a cure.
Yeah. I know what you mean. And you've got two kids. Are they, what ages are they?
My daughters are 20 and 23.
Okay.
And they've been on this journey with me. And one of the things my daughter, I heard her giving a talk. My oldest is a certified personal trainer. And she was giving a talk one time and she's like, yeah, when my mom was diagnosed, now no more Pop-Tarts. Of course, you know, I went in and cleared the decks, you know, got rid of all of the, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Fake food, we call it. Fake food, like Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, right. That have no nutritional value at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so my girls are not diabetic. I don't know exactly how it works genetically. My great aunt, who is my grandma's mother, died when she was 12 from diabetes. And so I may have had some kind of genetic component to where I was diagnosed as well. But type 2 diabetes, which is the most common and widely, you know, rampant in our society, does have a genetic component for sure. Like you were talking about your dad having it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fortunately, my girls are healthy and strong, and they know how to eat, and they certainly eat their share of carbohydrates, but they're both very, very active, and they work out, you know, for an hour plus a day doing weight training and cardio. So they're on the fitness track, and they definitely eat less carbs than the standard American diet.
Well, and because of their awareness and their change in lifestyle, they're lowering their risk of getting diabetes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And type 2 runs in my family as well. My grandma had it. My dad has to watch his sugar. So, you know, there's a genetic thing there that you want to watch out for.
Yeah. Excellent. And is your husband, Tim, is he involved in your business activities at all, or what is he up to in his life?
You know, my husband is very supportive, and he would do anything to support my business. He's sells my books like crazy.
And that's nice.
He's a financial coach and investment advisor, so he helps me by keeping the house fires burning and
yeah.
Support my entrepreneurial efforts. And he's an entrepreneur as well. He owns his own business and helps people out with their money.
Okay. Excellent. And you're finding that it's okay that you're both entrepreneurial, or how do you guys balance it out with your vision and taking risks with your personal finances?
Well, we talk about it. We probably should do more. We've actually decided that we need to sit down, like kind of have a weekly meeting and really focus on where we want to direct our efforts. Right now, it's mostly to to make the biggest difference in the world and to help the most people.
Yeah.
And still be able to sustain our lifestyle. And we've still got two kids in college. My youngest is at the University of Northern Colorado. And then my husband has a son who is at a community college right now, and he's studying biotechnology. And so one is at the University of Northern Colorado. She's studying theater arts. My other daughter has a degree in vocal performance as an opera singer, a classical singer, and a personal trainer. And so she's actually developing some online programs around strength training and the sport of baseball, actually.
Oh, and is she singing to some of her clients while they work out?
Exactly. I told her she's like, well, people don't really want to hear opera while they're working out. But.
Oh, my gosh. My husband will play opera when he's teaching yoga.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they love it.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have to do that.
Well, it helps you really get into a focused zone in no other music, really.
Hmm.
Well, it's a different,
share that with her.
Yeah, I think it's worth exploring. Why not, if you're multi-talented, take your talents and try to carve it out your niche in really unique ways.
Right. Well, as an entrepreneur, I've worked with several friends of mine who are branding experts and marketing, and they really encourage us to bring our whole story together, because it makes us relatable, and people like to know you, not just what your business is, but they really, people I think are more and more, we're finding that we like to reach into people's lives and really get to know their story, and it makes us feel better about doing business with them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, it's for sure. And so that's why I talk with people about really understanding your story. And that's what I liked about Jay Fissett for the Mastermind to Millions conference, when he had an exercise about, the 10 items of what makes you an unlikely leader.
Right.
Really understanding your history and how you can shape your story in a way that makes sense to you and honors your history, but also inspires people.
Exactly.
Because you're less likely than to. I think when you understand your history, you're less likely to be tripped up by your history.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you look at some of the people who really came from challenges and became very influential in the world, like even Tony Robbins. We just love to hear his story. I mean, he was overweight. He wasn't the leader that he is now. And then when you hear the stories, it's like, oh, I can do that too.
Right. And he had such a traumatic upbringing. And,
yeah.
Not always, he went for days, like being really, really hungry, and he always had to take care of his mom. And so he had like all this huge responsibility at a very, very young age. And I just think that's part of his drive now to really feed the world. And I thought, wow, if we all did, even one little portion of taking our lives and doing something great with what we learned, instead of collapsing into it, really use it to elevate ourselves and to reach out and connect with others. I just think that our world will continue to be a better place as we continue to learn more and share our own stories.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you go, girl.
Thank you. Well, another thing I'd like to bring up to your entrepreneurial listeners is keeping yourself really healthy, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And part of that is just not buying into all the negativity in the world. And I mean, we can't stop it, but we can hear about it, but not devour it and let us overtake us so that we become just overwhelmed with all there is to do in the world. We need to get up and get ourselves really fired yeah. up so that we can, you know, we can help other people.
Yeah, do what we can while we're taking good care of ourselves.
Right. And it's, I think yeah. motivators, those motivational speakers and things that I listen to, my kids make so much fun of me because I don't listen to the radio in the car. I have the CDs of Success Magazine or whatever, but it just encourages me to hear other people's stories, where they came from, how they made a success. And I just think it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been such a delight. You're so fantastic. I really appreciate the journey that you're on and what you've done to really take charge of your journey and make your life work in such a great way.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. And I hope that anyone listening who has diabetes in their family or who cooks for a diabetic or needs any help will, you know, go to deraildiabetes.com send me a message so that we can connect and see how much fun it can be.
That's right. So I'll have your information on the show notes so that everyone will find it, you know, who wants to contact you will find it you very easy to get a hold of.
Awesome. I sure appreciate that. This has been great, Nancy. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're a gem. I love what you're doing. I love you. And I'll look forward to our next connection.
Thanks. I want to come to Minnesota.
Yes, do. Okay. We'll see you again then.
All right. Thanks All right. a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. And thanks, audience, for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, great friend, and brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.